hold fast. We'll start with Revelation 3:11. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast that which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. It's a very familiar verse, but what are all the implications? In general, there are practical as well as prophetic lessons in this verse. This is part of the message to the Philadelphia church. If we believe that each of these seven churches represents a period of time in the gospel age, then this verse was given for the sixth period. If we believe that we are in the seventh or Laodicean period, then this verse is especially important to all of us. Why? Philadelphia was told that Jesus would come quickly. This suggests that his return was imminent at that time. Laodicea is told that Jesus is at the door and knocking. Revelation 3:20. In other words, he is present. This discourse is not about the Lord's second presence, but the knowledge that he has returned puts added emphasis on the admonition given to Philadelphia, hold fast. Holding fast has been necessary throughout the gospel age. There are many more scriptures which use this phrase than I originally thought. Those things mentioned which we are to hold fast to are many. We'll consider as many scriptures as possible. Beginning with Joshua 22 verse 5 and Joshua 23 verse 8. Only take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of Yahweh, commanded you, to love Yahweh your God, to walk in all his ways, to keep his commandments, to hold fast to him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. But hold fast to Yahweh your God, as ye have done to this day. That's the Webster translation. These are the words of Joshua to the Reubenites, Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, whose inheritance was on the other side of Jordan. Although these words do not directly apply to the new creation, the underlying principles are important to all the Lord's people, for all the Lord's people. What are the main points in these verses? We'll look at each phrase. To love God and to serve him with all our heart and all our being. This is a subject in itself and reminds us of the first great commandment mentioned by Moses in Deuteronomy 6 verses 4 and 5 and quoted by our Lord Jesus in the New Testament. To walk in his ways. This phrase is also found in Psalm 119 verses 1 to 3 and in many places in the harvest message. See, for example, volume 6, page 146, the manna for July 5th, and the exceeding great and precious promises for 2 Peter chapter 1 verses 10 and 11. The next phrase, to keep his commandments. 1 John 2 verse 3. 1 John 3, verse 22, 1 John 5, verses 2 and 3. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. And the last phrase, to hold fast to him. This is the first and most important part of holding fast. Luke 8:15. But that in the good ground these are they who indeed in a noble and good heart, having heard the word, hold fast and bear fruit with endurance. That's the Rotherham translation, and reprint 5736 is a good reprint on this. The good ground class has existed throughout the gospel age. This class hold fast to the word of God. to have the necessary depth of character, we must have honest, noble, and good hearts. Even within this class, there are differing degrees of fruitage. The Matthew count, Matthew chapter 13, verse 8, shows this as 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. Both accounts suggest that the measure of fruitage is dependent in some degree on the faithfulness of this class holding fast to the word of God. John 8, verse 31. Jesus therefore said to those of the Jews who had now believed in him, "As for you, if you hold fast to my teaching, then you are truly my disciples." That's from Weymouth translation. This verse is a natural follow-up to the previous one. The main idea is not only to hear the word, but to put it into practice. Doing the truth is a condition of true discipleship. Acts 13:43. And when the congregation had broken up, many of the Jews and of the devout converts from heathenism continued with Paul and Barnabas, who talked to them and urged them to hold fast to the grace of God. Again, from the Weymouth translation. What is the grace of God in this context? 1 Peter 5:12 tells us that our standing is by the grace of God. All that we have is by the grace of God. Paul's admonition means to hold fast to our confidence in God's grace. These devout converts were exhorted to hold fast to the truth they had received and all that was associated with that truth, the gospel which had been preached to them. Acts 14, verse 22. Everywhere they strengthened the disciples by encouraging them to hold fast to the faith and warned them, saying, "It is through many afflictions that we must make our way into the kingdom of God." Weymouth translation again. The faith in this context refers to the system of religious truth and corresponding beliefs. The apostle Paul and Barnabas had been teaching the disciples and were also encouraging them to hold fast to the system of truth, the entire harmonious package. This was in contrast to whatever system of beliefs they held before. The Jews had their own system of beliefs based on the writings of, on the same writings in the Old Testament as the early church. But it was not the faith preached by the apostles and disciples of Jesus. It is not enough to study the Bible. We must be guided also by the Holy Spirit of God. The scriptures are clear on this point. John 16, verse 13, 1 Corinthians 2, verses 14 through 16. In addition to Bible study, we need the gifts that God and Jesus gave to the church. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, 1 Corinthians 12:28, and also Ephesians 4:11. Holding fast to the faith is not easy because it brings affliction and tribulation. All that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, 2 Timothy 3:12. Opposition to the faith or system of beliefs, which is the truth, comes from the world, especially the so-called Christian world, from the devil who hates the truth, and even from well-meaning brethren who have either not yet developed sufficiently in the faith or from those who have departed from it. 1 Corinthians 11:2. Now I praise you, brethren, that you have taken a personal interest in me in all things, and that you hold fast to those things that were passed down to you, just as I delivered them to you. This is a composite rendering based on the Greek. The King James Version uses ordinances in place of those things that were passed down to you. This verse, and also 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 15, and 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6, use the same Greek word, which is 3862, which is translated traditions. Many other verses use the same Greek word, but in a negative sense. So there are good traditions from the Word of God and bad traditions from men. We must examine carefully those things that were passed down to us and make certain that they are harmonious with the Word of God and are not merely traditions of men. We must be like the noble Bereans mentioned in Acts 17, verses 10 and 11. 1 Corinthians 15:2. Moreover, brethren, I make known unto you the joyful message which I myself announced to you, which also ye received, in which also ye stand, to which also ye are being saved, if ye hold fast with what discourse I announced the joyful message unto you, unless indeed in vain ye believed. Rotherham's translation. Another aspect of holding fast is mentioned in this verse, joy. And that joy is based on a joyful message, the gospel. Paul says that our salvation and our standing are dependent on holding fast to this good news that was preached by Paul and others. We all know what that good news is. It's the gospel that was preached to Abraham, Galatians 3, verse 8. But the third chapter of Galatians contains even more about the gospel, the message of great joy, which shall be to all people, Luke 2, verse 10. The reason for that joy is also given in verse 8 of Galatians 3, that God would justify the heathen through faith, and that in Abraham's seed, all nations shall be blessed. This is a wonderful message of joy, not only for ourselves, but for all. However, it's one thing to receive God's blessings. It's another and greater joy to give those blessings to others. Paul's argument in Galatians 3 forcefully shows this concept in verse 29 when he tells us that if we are Christ's, then are we Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So we see that our joy is because we are Christ's, and therefore we must hold fast to that joyful message and all that it means, not only for ourselves, but eventually for all mankind. Philippians 4:9. The doctrines and the line of conduct which I taught you, both what ye heard and what ye saw in me, hold fast to them, and God who gives peace will be with you. Weymouth translation. Paul's teaching here, and the other disciples, apostles as well, was to know the doctrines and, more importantly, to adopt as our own the line of conduct demonstrated by Paul's example. So we must hold fast to the doctrines. But what does that mean? The word doctrine means a set of beliefs. This is yet another scripture which shows the importance of that set of beliefs given to us in the Bible and expanded upon in the Harvest Message. In addition to holding fast to certain truths and beliefs, we must follow Paul's example as he followed Christ, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. More than that, we must endeavor to be good examples to others. The result will be peace, not worldly peace, but an inner peace which no man can take from us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Holding fast to the truth is not possible without first proving it. There are steps involved. Number one, study. You can't prove what you don't know. Number two, prayer. This is an essential component that must not be overlooked. Number three, proving. Only the Bible is a proper standard of comparison. And number four, holding fast. It takes time and effort to reach a point of such stability. Another way of expressing this concept is to be established in the truth. And we are reminded of the manna for May 9th, which is especially appropriate. the general sentiment among the teachers of false doctrines who think it is neither necessary nor advisable to be established in the faith is that to be established is to be a bigot. And so it is if one is so unfair in mind as to accept and tenaciously hold that which he has neither proved, either by sound logic or Bible authority. But he is not an unreasoning bigot who, in simple faith, on the authority of God, accepts the word of God. And such, and only such, as do so, are established in the truth. The difference between a strong and steadfast Christian and a bigot is that the one is established in the truth, while the other is established in error. Even brethren may at times accuse us of being extremists, partisan, sectarian, dogmatic, etc. We must make certain that such is not a valid criticism while still holding fast. However, being established is a personal responsibility, and we are not permitted to judge others even though we may disagree with them. 2 Thessalonians 2:15. So then, brethren, stand your ground and hold fast to the teachings which you have received from us, whether by word of mouth or by letter. Again, the Weymouth translation. This scripture fits in with the previous one, though it is even more emphatic. The phrase stand your ground is from Strong's 4739, and it reminds us of a good soldier defending against attack. Another Greek expert defines this word as to maintain your allegiance to freedom. Sometimes we must fight to hold fast to the freedom which we have in Christ Jesus. It's holding fast to the truth. And at times this may mean that we would be opposing false brethren who would strive to bring us into bondage by their false teachings. Galatians 2:4 from the Rotherham's translation, and also Galatians 5 verse 1. We are to hold fast to the teachings of Jesus and the apostles, whether by studying the Bible or by other means whereby those teachings come to us, whether by word of mouth or by letter. Many translations use the word traditions rather than teachings. As already considered, there are good traditions and there are bad traditions. The difference is that the good ones are based on the word of God, while the bad ones are based on the traditions of men. 2 Timothy 1:13. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Many translators use the word outline or pattern in place of the word form in this verse. This is supported by the Greek. This is another verse which has the same theme as several we already considered. Additionally, faithful teachers who conform to the word of God deserve our attention and respect. And see volume 6, page 251, paragraph 2, and 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 17 and 18. This is especially true when sound doctrine is accompanied by a lifestyle in harmony with those teachings. The same principles regarding those things which we respect in faithful teachers must be adopted by us and put into practice in our own lives. Hebrews 3:6. Hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. From the context of this verse, what we are admonished to hold fast to is the confidence that we are members of the house of sons. We are also reminded that the natural result of this confidence is to rejoice. We are reminded that the natural result of this confidence is to rejoice and to have hope. Verse 1 of Hebrews 3 provides us with more details regarding this hope. We are partakers of the heavenly calling, the high calling, and we are partakers of the same profession as the great high priest, our Lord Jesus Christ. The reason we must hold fast is given in the context. Our standing is probationary. We must be faithful unto death in order for our hopes to be realized. Our hope is based on the righteousness of Christ. Those things which could result in us losing our standing are given in succeeding verses. Verse 8 mentions hardness of heart. The Greek 4:6, 4:5 carries the thought of stubbornness and suggests persistence in self-will instead of making sure that God's will in God's way is the standard we strive for. Verse 12 warns against unbelief, especially a departure from beliefs previously held. Much has already been said about the necessity to hold fast to scriptural beliefs. Verse 14 repeats the message of verse 6. For we are become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our confidence firm unto the end. That's from the American Standard Version. The phrase partakers of Christ is translated associates of the anointed in the diaglot. Our hope includes the prospect of being part of the Christ. Patient endurance, constancy, and joy, even under trial or persecution, are essential in order to hold fast to our confidence. Hebrews 3:14 also tells us to hold fast our confidence and warns us, do not harden your hearts. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14, let us hold fast our profession. Not only are we of the house of sons, but additionally, we are probationary members of the royal priesthood. See also Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. In the next verse, we are reminded that Jesus is our high priest, and he is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. The Greek 4:8-4 carries the thought of sympathy, compassion, and commiseration, yet without sin. This is an admonition with a promise. Jesus is there beside us in all our efforts to hold fast as our advocate, as well as our high priest. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. It is not enough that we recognize our privileges regarding this high calling, but we must be willing to acknowledge our gratitude and confess the truth on this and other subjects to others. And our faith in the promises must be firm unto the end without doubts and fears. The rest of the verse tells us the basis for our confidence, not in ourselves, but in the one who has promised. 1 Thessalonians 5:24, faithful is he that called you, who also will do it. If we do our part, God and Jesus will do their part. God backed up this promise with an oath in Hebrews 6, verse 16, and this hope is an anchor to our souls. Hebrews 6, verse 19. Revelation 2, verse 25. But that which ye have already, hold fast till I come. This was the only thing that Jesus required of the church of Thyatira. I will put upon you none other burden. What was it that Thyatira had that we also of Laodicea need to hold fast to? Here's a list. Good deeds, agape love, faith, ministering to the brethren, perseverance, and all these things must be constantly improved over the course of time. The phrase, that which ye have already, is also meaningful. We must reach the point of having an established faith, and then we must be faithful in holding fast to it. Revelation 3, verse 3. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come unto thee or upon thee. This verse reminds us of Revelation 16, verse 15. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. This is the message to Sardis. They were, in Revelation 3:3, they were not as praiseworthy as Thyatira. In fact, they were careless, but not all. Some had not defiled their garments. We must be quick to repent when overtaken in a fault. We must be quick to go to the Lord in prayer to ask him to remove the spots from our robe. If faithful, the promise of the divine nature is given, not only to Sardis, but to all the faithful ones throughout the age. We've looked at many scriptures, and based on the multitude of scriptures cited, each one of us has a personal responsibility to do the following. Hold fast to God and all that he is and stands for. And that requires a knowledge of his character. Hold fast to the word of God, the inspired Bible. Not only hear the word, but put it into practice. Hold fast to confidence in God's grace. Hold fast even in the face of afflictions, opposition, and persecution. Hold fast to the good traditions passed down to us. Hold fast to the joyful message of the gospel. Hold fast to the set of beliefs, which is our harmonious package. Follow the good examples from the past and endeavor to be good examples to others. Hold fast to those things we have proven by careful and prayerful study. Stand our ground in fighting against errors in doctrine from false brethren and other sources. Hold fast to the teachings, but also to the pattern of behavior contained in those teachings. Hold fast to our confidence in the promises and rejoice in the hope we have. Do not allow our hearts to become hardened, but be steadfast unto the end. Hold fast to the hope of our calling, for the hope that we have to be members of the great high priest. Be willing to tell the reason for the hope that is within us to others. Also in 1 Peter 3:15. Constantly seek to improve in our endeavors to put all these things into practice and make a daily reckoning with the Lord and seek forgiveness for our mistakes. Our last scripture is our theme text from Revelation 3:11. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast that which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Holding fast to what we have has already been discussed, but what did the church at Philadelphia have that they especially needed to hold on to? Number one, they were to hold fast to what they had, and number two, they were to hold fast to what they were promised. What they had kept the word of Jesus. They had not denied his name. They had patiently and cheerfully endured all things based on their faith in the word of God. This is a model for all Christians. And the things which they were promised included an open door. They were also promised future glory. And they were promised to be kept from the hour of temptation. By contrast, the promise to Laodicea is not to escape the hour of temptation, but to have special provisions, special food served by our returned Lord Jesus, which would help them to stand in the evil day. Matthew 24, verses 45, Luke 12, verse 30, verse 42, Ephesians 6, verse 13, and Revelation 3:20. There is an important concept related to the crown in this verse that has not yet been considered, that no man take thy crown. What does this mean? First of all, it shows that it's possible to lose your crown. Secondly, if you lose it, it will be given to someone else. This is a strong proof for the replacement process, which we believe has been going on since 1881. And obviously, this means there are a limited number of crowns available. The only logical numerical limit to the number of crowns is the one given in Revelation in chapter 4, chapter 7, verse 4, chapter 14, verse 1, and chapter 14, verse 3, 144,000. The only possible period of the church when that full number could be filled is the final period, the seventh period. And the context of Revelation 7, we believe, proves this. Now let's consider the crown symbol itself. What is the crown? It's the same one that's mentioned in Revelation 2:10. It shows victory. It's from the Greek stephanos, which you remember was a laurel wreath. It also symbolizes life, the green, everlasting life. And it shows the highest form of everlasting life, the divine nature. It's a crown of glory that fadeth not away. From 1 Peter 5:4, and that's the same Greek word. See also 1 Corinthians 9, verses 24 and 25, and 2 Peter 1:4. Who can take this crown away from us? Well, actually, no one can take it away from us. It is ours to keep or ours to lose. The outcome depends on us. But we must not forget the promised grace to help in every time of need, Hebrews 4, verse 16. A replacement can only take the crown that was promised to us if we first lose it, and then it is offered to them. How many are running for our crown? This is another important point, and is sometimes misunderstood. It's an individual race. We're not competing against someone else. If anything, we are competing against ourselves. Each crown is assigned to a single individual. This concept is not only shown in Revelation 3:11, but in other scriptures, such as the wedding banquet parable in Matthew 22. There were only a fixed number of places for those invited. No one entered that arrangement unless a place was available. See volume 6, page 94, in the context, and just a brief quote from there. Consistency seems to demand that the Almighty shall not even seem to trifle with his creatures by extending a single invitation which could not be made good if accepted. So, how can we hold fast to our crown? There are many scriptures related to this. Proverbs 24:16, a just man falleth seven times and rises up again. As long as we keep getting up, every time we fall, not merely seven times, we will be able to hold fast to our crown. Jesus' answer to Peter shows that seven in this verse is symbolic. You remember he'd said 70 times seven, and that's Matthew 18:21 and 22, verses 21 and 22. Philippians 3, verses 13 through 16. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect in intention, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. As the saying goes, it ain't over till it's over. Until then, there is always hope if we continue to hold fast. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 4 through 11, I think we should read that. whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity or agape love. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. These verses are full of hope and encouragement. A progression is shown here of gradual growth and development. If we are striving to make progress and then hold fast to what we have already attained, the Lord will help us and he'll be patient with us. And furthermore, we have the promise in these verses that if we are trying, that we shall never fall, and an abundant entrance will be given to us into the everlasting kingdom. The April 9th manna is excellent. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. That's from 1 Corinthians 9:24. And the text. To gain the victory, we must not only put on the armor of God, but we must be heroes in the strife and wage an aggressive warfare upon the lust of the eye and flesh and pride of life and all the foes of righteousness and purity. Love, love for the Lord, for the truth, and for righteousness must inspire us, or we shall never be victors. Love alone will keep us faithful even unto death and make us meet for the inheritance of the saints in light. Where fervent love rules the heart, it implies that the heart is fully submitted to the Lord. And that means that 9/10 of the battle is already won. But even then, as the apostle says, Jude verse 21, we must keep ourselves in the love of God, in watchfulness and prayer and zeal, and grace will abound where love abounds. And then the manna from November the 5th. Having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. And that's from Hebrews 10, verses 21 and 22. Let us remember that he who has begun the good work changes never. And that if our hearts are still in harmony with him, if our faith is still clear and firm in the great atonement, if our consecration is still full and complete, so that we seek not our wills, but his will to be done in our affairs, then we may indeed have the full assurance of faith. Because knowing that God is unchangeable and knowing that we are still in line with his promises and arrangements, we know that all his gracious providences are still being exercised on our behalf. This is full assurance of faith, full confidence in the Lord. And we'll close with a familiar quote from Jude verses 24 and 25. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.